Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Salamun ala ibadihi allazeen astafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, inshallah, just to continue from our Jumu'ah session, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised the ummah of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of two very important features that generally the ummati should have inside them, and that is the quality of amr bil ma'aruf nahi anil munkar. Amr bil ma'aruf nahi anil munkar is the real worth and value of that individual who is connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is Amar bil Ma'aruf Nahi anil Munkar? A terminology which is in the Arabic language for us to understand. Amar means to give a command. Al Amr yani hukam dena, to give a command, an order. Ma'aruf in the Arabic language means something that is good. Something that if you do, it will have a very positive outcome and it will be beneficial to you in this dunya and also in the hereafter. So that is called ma'aruf. So anything good, anything that is accepted, anything which frames the word halal and you do, you will be rewarded. And so that is the meaning of Amr bil Ma'aruf, that a person is inviting towards good. And that is why one of the signs of the day of Qiyamah will be that a person will stop doing this. And many people stop doing that. Many people don't even realize how important it is to remind people around you of what is right and what is wrong. And especially amongst friends, you will find that even amongst the youth, even amongst the friends, people that are around you, there will be people who are doing things that are wrong. And when you see someone who is doing something wrong, then you are supposed to do nahi anil munkar. And nahi anil munkar means to stop and to forbid someone from evil. So munkar literally, linguistically, munkar means something that is ugly. Something that is not liked. And so it is called munkar, something that is ugly. Vice, guna, sins, something that might be immoral. So all of these things which are wrong and which Sharia does not accept, then alhamdulillah, in the ummah, we should have people who are reminding one another that, look, this is wrong what you are doing. And remember, evil only prevails in this dunya when the good stops speaking out. Evil only prevails when the good people of good nature, when they stop doing their duty, when they stop doing amr bil ma'ruf, then shar, evil, will prevail. And so this is a very important quality in a human being. Amr bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar. In whichever capacity you are in, that you are always thinking that my duty is to invite people towards khair, and my duty is to invite and to stop people towards guna and sins. So you might be sitting at home and to remind people, bhai, sabne namaz parli, amar bil ma'aruf. Because you are the leader of the house. So has everyone prayed namaz? Take the register. Whether someone is 40, whether someone is 50 years of age, whether someone 60, everybody, namaz is farz. Bhai, namaz parli? Aurton ko pooch le, bhai, tum logon ne namaz parli? Example. So amar bil ma'aruf, this continuous reminder, and this is the way that you are always promoting khair in this dunya. Because there are groups that want to promote shar. And wallahi, we are living in such crisis today, in the days of such fitna, that it is going to be very, very difficult for any one of us to cling on to their deen. And to cling on to that deen will be like holding on to this burning charcoal. Aapne barbecue kiya hai na, aur usme jo charcoal aap dalte hai na, to you see how it is red. First the flames come out, and then it becomes very red. It's like holding on to that, the burning cinder. That is how difficult it will be for people to hold on to their deen. And so one way to really protect yourself is amar bil ma'aruf nahi anil munkar. And this is a great ni'mah. And that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned this all the time. Even women have to do amar bil ma'aruf. Mothers have to do amar bil ma'aruf nahi anil munkar in whatever capacity. And then the authority at a higher level, they have a duty of amr bil ma'aruf nahi anil munkar, to speak out that what is khair, and to speak out and to promote that what is good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we do this. So ma'aruf means to invite people towards good, something. And what is good? The definition of good is not what you think is good or what I think is good. The definition of good is what Allah and His Rasul have said is good. Very important. Aisa nahi ke what I am thinking is good, so it's good. No. The definition of good is what Allah and His Rasul is saying it is good. And what is evil? Evil is not what we think is evil. Evil, guna, sins, is what Allah and His Rasul has said that this is guna. Someone might say, okay, you know what, I don't feel backbiting is guna. I don't think ghibat is guna. What's wrong with that? If I'm backbiting. No, it's not about what you think. It's what already Shari'at has framed. Everything is codified. Ye sare kanoon likh chuke hai shariat mein. What is halal and what is haram. And so what is the highest level of ma'aruf? The highest level of ma'aruf. Are you looking for ma'aruf, bhai? I can tell, Umar Farooq, me and you have become telepathic sort of things. It is. You see, it is looking there. To ma'aruf sahab aapko dekh raha hai wo. So what does ma'aruf mean? The highest level of ma'aruf. The highest level of ma'aruf, that ni'mah is given to a Nabi. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And they do this. That highest level of ma'ruf means the complete operation of the entire body, where the system of kufr is transformed into the system of iman. That is the highest level of ma'ruf. And this is the job of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. And so nobody can actually give hidayat to anyone. Hidayat only comes by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah by His infinite mercy has given and invested, subhanallah, this authority upon special people who are pious and Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, that when they work with people, the level of kufr that is inside them, they have this ability to purify human beings, that they become the best of the best. And this is the highest level of Amr bil Ma'ruf. So the highest level of Amr bil Ma'ruf is when you take away from a person all the levels of shirk and kufr and replace it with iman. Allah give us the tawfiq. Sometimes Allah gives this power also to ordinary individuals. Sometimes it can happen. Isme koi haraj nahi. But the highest level that is given to a Nabi. So Amr bil Ma'ruf, where a Nabi works. That is why the job of a Nabi is very, very difficult. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam go through a great challenge in the life that is given to them. Very, very difficult. We see Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, the difficulty that he went through. Ibrahim alayhi salam, look at his life. Full of challenges. Every Nabi, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and how can we forget Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so this is the highest level of Amr bil Ma'ruf that is given to a Nabi. And by the barakat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this duty is also given to this Ummah. That we also at our own level, in our own capacity, that we carry out the duty of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. Subhanallah. And sometimes it is Allah's mercy that without anything, it is the direct intervention of Allah to bring someone on the right path. Allah's intervention, direct. There was a man who had cancer, and he said something very ajeeb. He said, the greatest ni'mah in my life is that I have cancer. What did he say? The greatest ni'mah in my life is that I have cancer. He said, I was flying towards Jahannam. What was I doing? I was flying towards Jahannam at great speed. In my life, I was heading straight into Jahannam. But it is the mercy of Allah that in my life I got this cancer. And when I got cancer, it stopped me and it gave me time to think and reflect. And I did a complete U-turn from the doors of Jahannam to the doors of Jannah. So is this not a ni'mah for me? This is what he's saying. Dekhi, kabhi kabhi, Allah paak insan ko, Allah gives you sometimes takleef. And you might think that that takleef is harmful to you, but in reality it is not harmful, it is ni'mah. There is khair. A lot of the people wonder that, subhanallah, you know, why is it that so many Muslims that are suffering and dying? Okay, you know, there are Muslims that are dying and suffering, no problem. But in Islam, there is one very high concept, and that is called shahadat. What is it called? Shahadat. Martyrdom. Martyrdom is such a lofty position. Such a lofty position. That it is ranked after Nabi and Sahaba. من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء. It is ranked after. And when a person becomes shaheed, he gets the highest level in Jannah and all of his sins are forgiven. There is no hisab and kitab for that individual. And when a person becomes shaheed, according to the hadith, it's also pain-free. What is it? So what you see is something, but what he feels is something else. And so this is the maqam sometimes, that Allah chooses out of His infinite mercy certain people that Allah wants to select and give them the honor of shahadat. And it happens. And we, because we are living in such a comfort zone, we don't understand this. There was this Palestinian young man who was engaged with a lady for, I think, more than 6 months, and they were about to get married. And she was also a professional lady. And just recently, the bombing in Gaza, because of the bombing in Gaza, she became shaheed and martyr. And she passed away. So the person who was getting married, he was interviewed, and he was not even crying. He was so elated. And he was saying that my beloved beat me to shahadat. What kind of iman do they have? You know, he's not even shedding tears. Look at the level of iman. That my beloved beat me to martyrdom. You know, being a woman, she beat me. But I will soon be there with you. And we will get married in Jannah. And I am waiting for you. Yani ye kamale iman. You know, this is a iman at a very different level, even in the year 2021. So sometimes we wonder that, oh ho, you know, this takleef that is given by, you know, Allah is Hakim. Allah is the most wise, and Allah loves you more than your mother and father can ever love you. Allah loves you that much. And so He knows what He's doing. And this is taqdeer. Taqdeer means to be happy. Raza bil qadha. That you are happy upon what Allah has decreed for you. And so sometimes you will find divine intervention that comes just to transform a nation. It happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change something completely for a person, for the better. So, amar bil ma'aruf nahi anil munkar. The highest level of amar bil ma'aruf is done by anbiya alayhimus salam. And then by those who follow anbiya alayhimus salatu wa salam. The lowest level of amar bil ma'aruf nahi anil munkar is for a person to remove something that is harmful to the public. On a road somewhere. So you are walking and you see something like a nail that is there and it is harmful and you pick it up, or a glass, a bottle, and you put it on one side. That is also part of Amar bil Ma'aruf Nahi Anil Munkar. And subhanallah, these are the very, very beautiful teachings of Islam. Very, very beautiful teachings of Islam. So there are different levels of Amar bil Ma'aruf Nahi Anil Munkar. And one Amar bil Ma'aruf Nahi Anil Munkar is also, as mentioned in Jumu'ah, Islam is a religion that is designed to eradicate every form of tyranny and terrorism. Islam is a religion that is designed to eradicate every form of tyranny, every form of zulm, and terrorism. Terrorism means that you cast terror on someone. You put fear unjustly on someone. That is terrorism. And so Islam, alhamdulillah, is the religion that is there to eradicate every form of zulm, every form of harm, every form of tyranny, every form of terrorism. That is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith which was read to you in Jumu'ah, that unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluman, you know, help your brother in every capacity, whether he is an oppressor or an oppressed person. And Sahaba said, we know how to help someone who is oppressed, but what about an oppressor? What about that person who is terrorizing people? So, zalim is the one who is terrorizing. So the real terrorists are this apartheid regime of Israel. They are the real terrorists because they are terrorizing innocent people. And so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to stop a person from committing these crimes, this is the duty also of a believer. This is the duty of a Muslim man. Now, what are the levels of zulm? What our ulama have mentioned, and this is something very important also for us to understand. Inshallah, it will help us. Zulm is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept in any capacity. Zulm. And zulm means that unjustly you are doing a wrong to a person. Unjustly you are doing wrong to a person. And this is in any capacity not accepted. Number one, our scholars have mentioned, the first level of zulm that we should be very aware of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O people of Iman, save yourselves and your family from the fire of Jahannam. Here the ulama say, the first people to be saved from any capacity of zulm should be your family. So under no capacity should zulm be done to any member of the family. These are the teachings of Islam. Beautiful teachings of Islam. And that is why they say that, you know, everything begins at home first. Everything begins at home first. And so from your house, then communities are built. So Shariat says that one man slapped a woman in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got so angry that his vein popped out here from the forehead. And he said, zulm. Is this what you do? Zulm. One sahabi slapped a slave. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got so angry and says, how are you going to compensate this in front of Allah? Who do you think you are? That sahabi didn't know what to do. And he says, I am giving him complete freedom. He is no longer my slave and you are free to go. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a mu'min is that person. He is the best maintainer. That he keeps everyone happy in the family. He is the best person. So the husband keeps the wife happy. No zulm on the wife. The wife keeps the husband happy. No zulm on the husband. The children keep the parents happy. No zulm on the parents. The parents keep the children happy. No zulm on the children. And this is the tartib of Islam. And so zulm in any capacity, Shariat has said that this is totally, totally haram. Totally haram. And so we have to be very, very mindful of this. We don't need to, you know, have intervention from the government to sort out our family issues, sadly. We don't need to do that. Because Shariat has already given us, you know, the rulings, what to do, what not to do. So we have to abide by Shariat, what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam have told us to do. Number two, after your family, the scholars have mentioned that you cannot do zulm upon any member of the public. You cannot do zulm upon any member of the public, of the community that is outside. So that no harm must come to anyone, irrespective of the fact that whether he is a Muslim or whether he is not a Muslim. No harm should come. Ya ab dekhe, Juma ke baad we were going Evington Road. Muslim with a beard. You know, Evington Road, because of COVID, they've blocked the parking that is there. Chalo, isko bhi hum accept kar le. And you have parked on, you know, the side. But you find people that they park in such a way that it is on the middle of the road. Not even close to the curb. Not even close. Chalo, if it is close to the curb, you might want to excuse and close your eyes and just drive along. Chalo, chalo. And, mashallah, he's blocked. There's a whole traffic behind Evington Road. And he's parked it right on Evington Road. And one third gap between his car and the curb, one third. You could have easily put it right towards the curb. And this Muslim Seth Saab with a big beard, he may have just finished Juma, comes out from the laundry and Evington Road. He's coming out, no remorse, no shame. Aram say, opens the front door, puts his clothes inside, doesn't give a toss of your beard, of your Muslim identity, of who you are, what you are. Just comes Aram thi, you know, with arrogance, you know, sits in the car, drives off slowly as if nothing is there to happen. This Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi Anil Munkar. Why does this happen? Because you are not educated. Because if you are educated and you don't make amal on Islam, then you are the worst of the worst. You know, one is a person who says, I know Islam. Well, if you know Islam, kya hai bhai? Is this what Islam is? So, amar bil ma'aruf nahi anil munkar. Can you imagine that? And this is a form of zulm also. And how many times do you see this? Or sometimes you'll find that it is parked, but the wheels are facing this way. Ye kamal ki baat hai, Azim. Subhanallah. So we have to be very mindful, my respected brothers. These are maybe, you know, things that we feel it's not a big issue, but in reality it is a big issue. Small things have great impact in a person's life. Ye choti choti baatein hai na? Bahut badi hoti hai. How you win the hearts of people, how you are going to talk to people. This is a tartib that Shariat is teaching you. And so no harm, Islam is saying, the second level of complete protection of zulm, that no harm should come to any member of the public, no matter who he is. Kisi ko bhi tum kya hai takleef, nahi de sakte. And that is why Usul-e-Deen, one of the tenets of Islam, one of the most important teachings of Islam, is that a person in an Islamic Khilafat is protected by three things. He is protected by three things. Number one, his honor. His honor is protected. Number two, his life is protected. And number three, his wealth is protected. Any in Islamic Khilafat, that is why the Jewish community, and this is historically proven, and I say this, we've got nothing, we are not against the Jewish community whatsoever. The Jewish community lived with the Muslims because of the justice system. They knew that your wealth will always be protected. Your life will always be protected. Your honor will always be protected. If you look in the modern world, never mind your honor, even the honor of a prophet is not protected. Even the honor of a prophet is not protected. Under freedom of speech. Under freedom of speech. But freedom of speech disappears when you speak anything against the apartheid regime of Israel. And you are blackmailed that you are treading on anti-Semitism. And this is what can happen to you. And you are blackmailed. And people are forced that, you know what, you have to take him out from his position, from his job, because of what he has said. Subhanallah. This blackmailing. Allah subhanahu. And you know why this happens, my respected brothers? I'll tell you why it happens. Because we, the community, don't speak out. Most of the people, what do? We've got a seal here. What is it? We've got a seal here. We only know how to fight in the house. We only know how to fight amongst ourselves. Hame to yehi aata hai. Anything outside, we don't know. We don't know how to defend our deen. We are all quiet. That is why advantage is taken. That is why. And you will see immediately, the Zionist community will not tolerate anything. Immediately they will take action. Immediately. And this is what we have to do. We have to organize ourselves properly. And we have to show the world that in Islam there is no place for zulm. And in Islam we protect the dignity of a human being. His life, his wealth, all of that is protected under no circumstances. There is no racism in Islam. We don't look at color. We don't look at the skin of a person. That is what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum. Allah does not look at your skin color. Wala ila amwalikum. Allah does not look at your wealth. Walakin yanzuru ila kulubikum. Allah looks at your heart, your piety, your taqwa, your justice. You upholding amar bil ma'aruf nahi anil munkar. So no one from the public should feel any form of harm that comes from the Muslim community. We are people who don't harm anyone. And so the first level is that complete protection should be given to who? Your? Excellent. Your? Family. Family ke upar zulm? Nahi hona. Second, members of the public. Zulm should not be. Then ulama say in Islam, zulm must not be done even to animals. Islam protects the rights and the hukuk of animals. Amar bil ma'aruf nahi anil munkar. Even that is why it's not jais for a person to eat whatever he wants. There are only certain animals that a person can eat and it is halal for him. And we as Muslims believe that the power of saying Bismillah Allahu Akbar is anesthetic. What is it? It does not give any pain to the animal. And this is the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Otherwise you can't kill an animal for pleasure. And there are certain rules that you will see. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his majalis with a group of companions. A camel came and put the head down in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was speaking to him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the owner of the camel and said, your camel is complaining to me that you are loading it with so much weight that it is unbearable for it and you are not giving it water on time. Your camel is complaining. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got angry. And he said that don't think that these animals are deaf and dumb. They are the creation of Allah and look after them. Look after them. So Islam came to give hukuk and rights also to animals. So alhamdulillah, the religion of Islam is there to eradicate every form of tyranny, zulm, harm and terrorism. Every form of terrorism. And subhanallah, that is why I had read this verse also in the month of Ramadan. It's a beautiful verse of the Quran. The worth and value of a believer. That if you were to kill a man of Iman with intent, if you were to kill a man of Iman with intent, intentionally. The reason why I am saying that, so that we value today what is happening. And there was this statistics that I was looking at today, and I just thought it's interesting for me to just quote this. You know, when you look at media, it always talks about Hamas and the rockets that are released. And so, this video that was released was on 13th May, an interview. 2021. 13th May, 2021. And it is said that Israel has killed more people in Gaza in the last 24 hours. How many? In the last 24 hours, that is 13 May 2021. Israel has killed more people in Gaza in the last 24 hours than Hamas rockets in the past 20 years. What are the statistics? In 24 hours, the killing of innocent people, civilians in Gaza, just in 24 hours, the amount they killed is equivalent to what damage Hamas has done in how many years? 20 years. 20 years. Alhamdulillah, when you look at our history, Islamic history, we have never ever gone out on a mission to slaughter people and to kill people. Alhamdulillah, Muslims, we worship Allah, and Allah is Rahman and He is Rahim. And because of Rahman and Rahim, we have mercy in our hearts. What do we have? We have mercy in our hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا. And a person who kills a person with iman, مُتَعَمِّدًا, intentionally. فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ. Number one. Immediately, Allah is saying, what, who is saying? Allah. When you kill a person of iman intentionally, without a reason, فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ. His punishment is Jahannam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't stop there. His anger doesn't stop there. فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا فِيهَا. And he will stay in Jahannam forever. Allah doesn't stop there. وَغَدِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. He will go in Jahannam. He will remain in Jahannam. On top of that, in Jahannam, Allah's anger still remains with him. Allah doesn't stop at that. وَلَعَنَهُ. And Allah's la'nat is on him. Can you just count the anger of Allah? وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا. A believer, a Muslim, a person of iman and ummati that is killed innocently. فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ. He'll go straight into, immediately in the grave he goes to Jahannam. خَالِدًا فِيهَا. He will remain there permanently. وَغَدِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And even in Jahannam, Allah's anger is with him. وَلَعَنَهُ. With anger, Allah's la'nat is on him. And Allah doesn't stop there. Allah save us. وَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. And Allah is saying, in Jahannam, I am the one who will sort out the most severe punishment for him. That is the value of a mu'min. Aram say, we see, you know what, oh, one Israeli missile hits the building, 40 died, as if there is no blood in the bodies of the Palestinians. as if there is no blood flowing in their bodies, as if a Muslim is nothing. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah al-Azim. When you look at the time of our predecessors, one man did wrong in, at that time, Hind. At that time, Hind. A letter was written to the Islamic Empire that in Hind, one Muslim lady, someone pulled something. 17-year-old Muhammad bin Qasim, as a general, was elected with an army to sort out that one harm that came to one Muslim lady, and they took over the entire zone of sins. That entire zone of sins was taken all the way to Hind. Subhanallah. And today, look at that, my respected, look at the ayah, look at the verses of the Quran, look at the anger of Allah. And look what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, doing tawaf of the Kaaba. He stops people. Just like Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala doing tawaf of the Kaaba. Stops people. And he's teaching them aqeedah. Hazrat Umar is teaching people aqeedah. He looked at the black stone. And he said, Inni a'lamu innaka hajar. I know that you are only a stone. Umar would never kiss you. Umar would never kiss you. But the greatest human being kissed you. And we as Muslims don't follow logic, we follow the sunnah. We don't follow logic, we follow blindly our Nabi. Our logic is wrong, our logic is wrong. But he kissed, we kiss the black stone. Look at that. And a Muslim has no doubt. We worship who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bas khatam. We are the followers of a Nabi. What he does, we do. We don't ask questions. That is Iman. That is Iman. If you want Iman, that is Iman. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion, doing tawaf of Kaaba. And it was the habit of Sahaba that whenever they knew that Allah's Nabi is doing tawaf, one by one, everyone would come and join him. You know, when do you get an opportunity to do tawaf with the most handsome, the prince of mankind, that Nabi doing tawaf of Kaaba, and you are going round with him? When do you get an opportunity? And you look round at the back and the whole mataf is filled, mashallah. Everyone is there. Women are there. Women are there. And sometimes we Devbandis are very cultured. Bairi aivi masjid ma, karo aivi baba. Bairi aivi, masjid ma, bara, hunko aivi. Are bhai. ये भी अल्लाह की बंदी है, उसको आने दो, मस्जिद में नमाज पढ़ने दो, तुम्हारी बहन है, माँ है, क्या है, इतनी शिद्दत अल्लाह को भी पसंद नहीं है भाई, what is this? You know, be reasonable. You know, to be reasonable, that is so important in Islam also. And so, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks right and left and he sees there's a great majma. And what does he do? What does he do? Doing tawaf, what is he doing? Bhul gaye. Amar bil ma'aruf. What is he doing? Amar bil ma'aruf. Taking the opportunity. And he stops doing tawaf, he stops. Everyone stops. He stops, everyone stops. And he looks at the Kaaba. And he says, Kaaba, how beautiful you are. Kaaba, there is no building like you. How mu'attar you are, Kaaba. And he praises Kaaba. And then after that, at the end, he says, Kaaba, I swear by that Allah, in whose control is the soul of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I swear in the name of that Allah, in his control is the soul of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not even the life of a believer. He did not even say that. He said, the honor, the izzat of a Muslim is far more superior than you, O Kaaba. What did he say? That the honor, the izzat of a believer, your izzat, my izzat, which today the world is mocking. Allah's Nabi is saying, your worth, your honor is so high.
It is greater than the building that was built by Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi musallatu wassalam. These are the beautiful teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my respected brothers and elders. Allah give us the tawfiq. Allah give us the tawfiq. And so this is why we need to understand that Amr bil Ma'ruf Nahi anil Munkar is also to promote the truth and to speak the truth. What is it? To promote the truth and speak the truth. When as a majority we learn to speak and to speak out the truth, then you will see, mashaAllah, the tide will change. Am I right, Idris? Ji, jazakallah. It will change. You know, there are intelligent people in our community. Waqi, main to kuch bhi nahi hu, sahi main aapko kehta hu. Hamari qaum mein, you know, there are people who are so brilliant, so talented. And subhanallah, Islam could use you in the most beautiful manner. And Islam really needs you. And we need to seek out and see that talent that is out there and make use of it. Khair, just to talk on the subject of Amr bil Ma'ruf and how Islam abolishes every form of zulm and the justice system in Islam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Let me go back to him. Hazrat Umar, remember, he never went out of Medina Munawwara. And I said this in my last session, did I not? And the reason was that his dua was that he wanted to become shaheed, to become shaheed in Medina. And remember I said shahadat is a very high ranked position. So he became shaheed. Hazrat Abu Bakr, because of his nisbat with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his death was like the way he passed away, in a different category. But this was the shahadat fil qital, in a sense that, you know, he was done qatal, a knife was put inside him, sword. So Hazrat Umar decided that he will go to Jerusalem, and Heraclius and the bishop of Jerusalem were waiting that we will only give the keys to Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. He went with his khadim. We talked about this. And Hazrat Umar said 50-50, one mount. And some of the historians have mentioned that Hazrat Umar, as he was walking, just before he got to Jerusalem, Hazrat slipped and he fell down. He slipped and he fell down, and because of that, his kurta got very, very dirty. Mitti aa gayi bhai us par kurte. The kurta got a bit dirty. And now the khadim was also scared. He was just hoping that as I get close to the door of Jerusalem, I wish that I am walking and Hazrat is sitting on the mount. But it wasn't. It so happened that the turn was of the servant to be on the mount and Hazrat Umar was walking. So he stopped and he says, Hazrat, please, let me walk. Now they can see us. They can see us. And you know what? Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah was already inside waiting for Hazrat Umar to come, that he was already in Jerusalem. And when he looks at Hazrat Umar, you know, he gets a bit angry looking at the situation. So how is it possible? Hazrat Umar is walking and this man is on the animal. So he is saying that Hazrat Umar said, no, it's your turn, you sit. Allah wale log the, kamal the. You sit. So Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah quickly speaks to the Christians that were there. He says, look, please, can I quickly go to Hazrat Umar outside? I just need to tell him a few things that are important. So Hazrat Abu Ubaidah very quickly rushes out before Hazrat can come into Jerusalem. And Hazrat Abu Ubaidah sees Hazrat Umar. Hazrat Umar gets happy. Oh, Abu Ubaidah, ha. And he takes him on the side, and Hazrat Abu Ubaidah was also a simple man. So he goes, Hazrat, why are you wearing these clothes? No. Don't you know that, you know, there are people here wearing fancy clothes? Just today you could have put on good clothes. Just for today. And then your clothes are dirty. For today, aaj to aap kuch darvesh ki tarah na rehte, you know. And you know what clothes he was wearing? Wallah, my respected brothers, tarikh is gawa, 17 patches. How many patches? Zero dunya. Remember, very few were people who lived like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They lived like him. Zero dunya, no dunya. They owned nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing. Zero dunya. 17 patches. And that is how this lion wants to enter Jerusalem. And Hazrat Abu Ubaidah is holding him. What are you doing? And Hazrat Umar gets angry. He says, Abu Ubaidah. Remember, Hazrat Umar was a literate individual from Makkah. From amongst the few people who knew how to read and write was Hazrat Umar. So he says, Umar, Nahnu qawmun a'azzanallahu bil Islam. How dare you speak to me like that? You want me to be an actor? Allah gave us honor by Islam and not by clothes and nothing. It is your iman that gives you honor. Don't speak to me in this manner. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah just stopped. Nahnu qawmun a'azzanallahu bil Islam. Today, you will see, you know, youngsters, shy. Topi zara yun kar li, nikal diya. You know, did this, did that. But okay, you know, occasionally, if there is a reason for you to dress up, how you have to dress up, no problem. But if you are taking and hiding your clothes because you are ashamed. Look, I'm very moderate. If a person is out there on a hot day wearing a t-shirt or whatever clothes, or no problem. Koi baat nahi bhai. Your satar is covered, no problem. You're wearing dark glasses, mashallah, no problem. You know. Kahin aapne mujhe dekh liya, Umar Farooq ne dekh liya, Mauli sahab to pagri ke bagair the. Wah, 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 look at him. Duplasi. Samjhe? Duplicate. Bhai, nahi yaar. Aise mat karo. I am saying, if you are ashamed of your identity, it's problematic. Hazrat Umar, Sahaba were not people who were ashamed. They were proud. And you know what? When you are genuine, people respect you. And when Hazrat Umar came, but you know, it was very different. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah says, when he came, it was like, subhanallah, you know, what can we say? You know, this hero, this great man, this great king. And you know, he was a huge man. Hazrat Umar was huge. Every time, you know, clothes were given, he had to take double the clothes because he was such a tall man. Beautiful, noor, handsome man enters. And subhanallah, the keys are given to him. Heraclius gives him the keys to Jerusalem. He takes the keys and then the bishop comes to him and says, let me take you to our places of worship, you know, and show you the church. Hazrat Umar said, take me. Hazrat Umar goes to the church. Look at how the Muslims were. This is what I'm saying. Now they have full control of Jerusalem. Hazrat Umar has entered the church. And because already Muslims were living in Palestine, in Jerusalem, he heard the adhan for Zuhr Salah. He heard the adhan for... Now Hazrat Umar, when he heard the adhan, it was time for Salah. The priest knew, the high bishop, priest knew. So out of courtesy, the priest is saying that Amirul Mu'mineen, you know, you don't have to go to the masjid. Why don't you honor us by praying here in our church? Pray in our church. We will arrange for you to pray here. Look at Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and the vision that was given to him. He said to the bishop, we as Muslims never steal properties or take away any land that does not belong to us. If I pray namaz here, maybe the future generation will think that this church was originally a masjid because Hazrat Umar Farooq prayed his Zuhr Salah there, and let us change this church into a masjid So he says, I don't want to do that. Look at the justice. The justice of Islam. And he went out, and because he was with his entourage, and outside in the open, Hazrat Umar performed his namaz with the few companions, and he was the imam. And today, subhanallah, at that very location, if you go, there is Masjid-e-Umar. There is Masjid-e-Umar. In Jerusalem, there is Masjid-e-Umar, that is there, because that is where Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an prayed namaz. And so my respected brothers and elders, what I'm trying to say is that when you compare Islamic history to the non-Islamic history, you will see that as Muslims, we have never ever done zulm on anyone. Never. Very quickly, if you just look at the Crusaders and chronology, Azan kitne baje 20? 24. I have a bit of time. Let me just finish this. Crusaders began in 1095. And went on to 1099. The first victims of the Crusaders was the Jewish community. The first victims were the Jewish community. Just for your information. Then in 1097, the Crusaders came to Ma'arrah. Where did they come? A place in Syria, Ma'arrah. And what did they do? You will have never ever Islamically witnessed that Muslims massacred a city, or this is what Muslims did. Find me one incident in history books that will tell you that Muslims were on a mission to massacre people. You won't. And what happened? 1097, the massacre of Ma'arrah in Syria. You know what the Crusaders did? Cannibalism. They not only killed the Muslim communities, they killed every Muslim man, woman, children, and cooked them. Cooked them, and they were eating the Muslim bodies. And they, now can you imagine that level, you know, such darkness in a person's heart, that level of, you know, demons, shayateen to be inside you. Not only to kill, but to eat. Cannibalism took place in 1097. This is what the Crusaders did. And you know why the Crusaders could do this? Because Pope Urban wrote a letter, and he guaranteed all the people that were to fight with the Crusaders and to enroll their names for this mission of crusade. He gave them, subhanallah, a few points, an incentive that what will be given to you. He said, number one, if you enroll, first of all your debt will be forgiven. All your debt will be forgiven. Number two, your past crimes, whatever you have done, that will be forgiven. Number three, you will be given a very good salary. Number four, your families will be taken care of. And most importantly, the Pope says, I give you that promise, the eternal reward of the hereafter. The eternal reward of the hereafter. So anyone who hasn't got the blood of Jesus, and who is not of Jesus, you can do whatever you want to do with him, and there is no issues. So when you have teachings like this, can you imagine the Pope saying something like this now, what would happen? But this is actually what is happening, subhanallah, in many parts of the world with the Muslim communities. And then what did the Crusaders do? Eastern churches were burnt. The Eastern churches were burnt. And the Christians that took refuge inside these churches, the Eastern Christians that were there, took refuge inside, they burnt all the Eastern Christians alive, because they had so many different denominations amongst them. And then by 1099, it is said 700,000 people had died. How many? This is the zulm that the crusaders did. And then there was another man whose name was Raymond de Chatelion. De Chatelion, something like that. What he did, he went as far as attacking the Hujjaj, and he got two people involved to go to Medina Munawwara with a mission to take out Aliyazu Billah, the body of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they said, bring the body of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Jerusalem and we will show the Muslims the power we have. Aliyazu Billah. Can you imagine? This is how far they went. But Allah give jazai khair to Sheikh Nuruddin, who was the Sheikh of Sheikh Salahuddin. He was the Sheikh of Salahuddin Ayyubi. And alhamdulillah, he understood this plot and he saw a dream, and immediately he sent two people there, and these two people were caught, and there was a tunnel that was being dug from Masjid-e-Nabwi from the outside going all the way to the Rauza Mubarak. And they were very, very close. But Allah's divine protection. And so this is the kind of attitude that was taken by this community, the crusaders. Now I'm not saying, you know, we blame everything on them. What I'm saying is that when you compare that the Muslims have never ever done anything of the sort. In fact, when Sultan Salahuddin conquered Jerusalem, it was the very same day when Allah's Nabi conquered Makkah Mukarrama. The day he conquered Makkah Mukarrama, that was the same date Sultan Salahuddin conquered Jerusalem. And when he conquered Jerusalem, he remembered Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi said to the people, Al-Yawmu Yawmul Marhama, that today is the day of mercy and no revenge will be taken from you. So he also stood up, and people were so scared that all the prisoners and everyone will be killed. And you know what he did? What he did? Hazrat Salahuddin said that the Jewish people who were expelled by the crusaders, they will be given the complete freedom to come back to Jerusalem, and the Muslim empire will rebuild for them houses. Have you ever seen anything like that? The Jewish people that were expelled by who? The crusaders. Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi is saying, you can come back and we will build houses for you. We will build houses for you. And compare this history, this bloody, very bloody, murderous history as compared to the pure, pristine history of the Islamic Empire. Look at the Muslim leaders, my respected brothers and elders. And so these are the things that, alhamdulillah, you know, we need to look at, we need to educate people who we are. Alhamdulillah, these are the different levels of zulm that Islam protects all of humanity. So alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we are very, very peaceful people. But with peace also comes a duty, that without breaking the law of this country and respecting the laws of this country, alhamdulillah, when you see something that is against the dignity of a human being, that is oppression, zulm, whether he is a Muslim, whether he is a Jew, whether he is a Hindu, whether he is any human being, as a Muslim community, we need to come out and speak the truth, that this will not be tolerated and we cannot accept this, especially what is happening in Palestine. So, maine bar bar kaha, alhamdulillah, that as Muslims we are a good community. If there are organizations, individuals, people who want to have groups and take on some kind of a work, that inshallah, this is how we are going to promote the positive image of what is happening in Palestine, to show people the wrong that is out there and to educate people, alhamdulillah, you will be rewarded.
And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Dua kalle. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.